Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balram Shri.
I think we lost Mataji's connection, right?
Yes, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you can give introduction.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhu is a full-time monk at Govardhan Echo Village, and Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Regarding Prabhuji's academics, Prabhuji completed his bachelor's in metallurgical engineering from NIT Tiruchirappalli in 2002. Thereafter, he joined Pennsylvania State University and graduated with a PhD in material science in 2007. And while at the Pennsylvania State University, His Grace took up to Krishna consciousness as a member of a Vedic society. And Prabhuji was mentored by His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhu. After he moved back to India, he chose to become a full-time monk at Radha Gopinath Mandir. And also in May 2010, he moved to Govardhan Echo Village and has been serving there full time. And his interest taught to teach, and he travels to several different places, Thane and Pune, Vrindavan, and he teaches the Bhakti Shastri. And also he's one of the teachers at Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeeth. So we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhu in this call. So let's welcome Prabhuji by saying a very big Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Prabhuji, over to you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning. I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, so thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to again share some insights from Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll be going over this PowerPoint which I prepared for today's session. So today we'll be discussing, today actually we'll be completing the fourth canto. We have another three verses left in the 31st chapter of fourth canto, which is the final chapter of the fourth canto. So we will see what we can learn. So I'll read the verse translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. So 29th verse, then we will 29, 30, 31, all three we will read the verse translation and purport. Some have purports, some don't have. I think 29 and 30 have purports, small purports, and 31st verse has no purport. So we will read and then we will start discussing. So, and at some point I will pause to see if there are any quick comments, questions, and then we will take it forward from there. So I'll read. Vidura uvacha soya madhya mahayogin bhavata karunatmana darshitastama sapparo yatra kinchana go harihi. So Vidura said, O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy, I have been shown the path of liberation from this world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from material world can return home back to Godhead. So I'll give a brief context to this, what we have been discussing, why Vidura speaks this particular verse. I will just give a very brief overview of what has happened till now. Actually, the Prachetas, this chapter is titled Narada Muni's Instruction to the Prachetas. Actually, the Prachetas were, if you remember, in the 24th chapter, they were given the, they were taught the Rudra Gita by Lord Shiva, and they chanted Rudra Gita, glorifying the Supreme Lord while performing austerities inside that particular lake. And then from the 25th chapter onwards, how Narada Muni delivers the father of the Prachetas, that is Prachina Bhar, he was discussed, you know, 25th to 29th chapter. And then almost like 30th chapter. And in the 31st chapter, again, the discussion shifts to the Prachetas in the 30th chapter. And in the 31st chapter, actually, the Prachetas, they remember the teachings taught by Lord Shiva. And also, once they chanted the Rudra Gita, the Supreme Lord became very happy with them. He gave his darshan and he gave some instructions. So they remembered the instructions given by Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. And they actually retired from their householder life and they went to the forest. And there Narada Muni met them, just like he met Prachina Bharhi while he was ruling. He met the sons of Prachina Bharhi, the Prachetas, after they retired. And as soon as the Prachetas saw Narada Muni, they said, "My dear Lord, actually we heard wonderful teachings from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. But because we were so absorbed in our householder life, we have practically forgotten them. So can you please enlighten us again?" So after hearing this from the Prachetas, Narada Muni actually spoke, and a very beautiful section where he very systematically glorifies devotional service. He explains how without bhakti, the life is a waste. And he glorifies worship of Krishna, or glorifies Krishna himself. Yatataror moola nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujopashaka. You know, such verses, very beautiful verses, glorifying the process of devotional service, how it is complete, and how when one takes up to devotional service, he need not individually try to please anyone else. It is just like watering the root, like that. Then after that, And after thus instructing the Prachetas, Narada Muni actually departed, playing his veena. And the Prachetas then meditated on the lotus feet of Krishna. And eventually they achieved the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, the episode of Prachetas is over. And Shukadeva Goswami, he tells Parikshit Maharaj, to whom he is narrating this, that in this way, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, you wanted to know about the lineage of Swayambhuva Manu. So in that lineage of Swayambhuva Manu, I have in detail described the lineage of Uttanapad, who was the younger son of Swayambhuva Manu. Now I will speak now here about Priyavrat Maharaj, like that he mentions. And then he very briefly mentions that how Narada Muni, Priyavrat Maharaj actually heard instructions from Narada Muni, and because he had learned detachment from Narada Muni, when the right time came, he divided his kingdom amongst his sons, and then he left his home, practiced devotional service and perfected his life and went to Lord's abode. So hearing this, actually Vidura felt so touched. So he felt so inspired. He fell at the feet of Maitreya and touched his head to the feet of Maitreya, and mentally he offered obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that point he speaks this verse. This is the first verse he speaks. He says that, "My dear Maitreya, your By your causeless mercy, I have been shown this path of liberation from this world of darkness. And by following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. Essentially, the path that he had shown is actually pure devotional service. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, this material world is called tamaha, dark, and the spiritual world is called as light. The Vedas enjoin that everyone should try to get out of the darkness and go to the kingdom of life, light. That's what tamaso ma jyotir gamaya, like that. Information of the kingdom of light can be attained through the mercy of a self-realized soul. One also has to get rid of all material desires. As soon as one frees himself from material desires and associates with a liberated person, the path back home, back to Godhead is clear. Prasangam majaram pasham atmanak kavayo viduhu saiva sadhushukrito mukshadwaram apavritam. It is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Kapila Dev says, saiva sadhushukrito mukshadwaram apavritam. While material association leads to bondage in this material world, that same association, when taken from the supreme, from the devotees, actually opens the door for liberation, like that. Then Shukadeva Goswami continues, Shri Shuka Uvacha Ityanamyatam Amantrya Viduro Gacha Sahvayam Swanam Didrikshu Prayayau Gyati Nam Nirvrita Shayaha. So Shukadeva Goswami said, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya and, taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsmen, although he had no material desires. So he actually goes to deliver Dhritarashtra. He had no material desires, actually. So the one of the longest conversations of Srimad Bhagavatam, the conversation between, actually the longest conversation of Bhagavatam is between Suta Goswami and the sages. And the second longest is from Shukadev, is between Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And actually the third longest conversation is that between Maitreya and Vidura, which started at the almost at the beginning of third canto and ends at the end of fourth canto. Okay, so Vidura returns to Hastinapur. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, when a saintly person wants to see his kinsmen, he has no material desire to see them. He simply wants to give them some instructions so that they can benefit. Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew that all the family members were destroyed at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother Dhritarashtra to see if he could deliver Dhritarashtra from the clutches of Maya. So for that purpose, Vidura goes back to meet Dhritarashtra. So that, is there a chance that at least now Dhritarashtra could be delivered? Because all his sources of attachment, Duryodhana, Dushasana, everyone has been killed on the battlefield. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Vidura thus offered his respectful obeisances to his spiritual master and departed for the city of Hastinapur, the kingdom of the Kauravas. So Vidura moves to Hastinapur. And what happened there is described in the first canto, 13th chapter, if you remember. Then the last verse of this canto and this chapter is actually the Falashruti. Etadyashrunu yadrajan ragnyam haryarpitatmanam ayurdhanam yashasvasti gatim aishwaryam apnuyat. He says, O king, those who hear these topics about kings who are completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead obtain without difficulty a long life, wealth, good reputation, good fortune, and ultimately the opportunity to return home back to Godhead. Of course, the initial phalas like long life, wealth, good reputation, etc. are for those who may not necessarily have pure faith. Because as we saw last time also, phalashrutis are according to one's qualification. And ultimately, Parikshit Maharaj was hearing this episode. And the fourth canto means it must have been the second day and in 5 days actually Parikshit Maharaj actually leaves his body. So this promises long life, not that he did not hear without faith, he heard with faith, but nevertheless Neither did he gain further wealth, nor did he gain a long life. Actually, he left quite early, but he did return back home, back to Godhead, because the last of these phalas is what is meant for devotees. So, every episode of Srimad Bhagavatam actually, when heard by a pure devotee, it leads to, even though other phala shrutis may be mentioned in that particular episode, one should understand that the only phala that is meant for devotees is they will get nothing less than Krishna Prem. Whatever may be the episode of Srimad Bhagavatam, be it the Vamshavalis, you know, the genealogical lines of great kings, or prayers by great devotees, or creation pastime, whatever it may be, ultimately it leads only to one fruit, that is nothing less than Krishna Prem, eventually, of course. So that brings us to the end of this fourth canto. And tomorrow we are going to start the fifth canto. So what I thought was, instead of, I'll give a brief perspective as to how we could approach the various sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the sections which are little technical in nature. Especially you would have seen the second canto, third canto, there is so much about creation, the Virat form. And then in the fifth canto, almost half of the canto talks about the Vedic cosmology. You know, how the universe is situated, the universal geography, you can say, or cosmology. So now, so the fifth canto is going to start. And now, the fifth canto is titled as Sthanam. Sthanam means the situation of various planetary systems. As in the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the third topic. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manvantareshanukata nirodho muktirashraya. It is mentioned. So the third topic is Sthanam. Sthanam means how the planets are situated, the 14 planetary systems. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami says in that section, after the 10 topics have been enumerated, he defines each of those topics. He says, Stitir Vaikunta Vijaya Poshanam Tadanugraha Manvantarani Saddharma Utaya Karmavasana. He says, Sthanam refers to the Lord protecting his devotee, or actually the Lord protecting every living entity by giving actually the Poshanam Tadanugraha. Poshanam means the Lord's special mercy to his devotees, but Sthanam or Stiti refers to how the Lord protects every living entity by allowing that living entity to stay at a place where he can fulfill his desire according to whatever nature that he has developed. He gives one place in one of the 14 planetary systems by which he can fulfill his material desires. Okay, so that is sthiti or sthanam. Sthanam means protection which shows excellence of the Supreme Lord in comparison to Brahma, the creator, and Shiva, the destroyer. Of course, Brahmaji also cannot function without the sanction of the Supreme Lord or without the empowerment of the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji himself says in the second canto, Srijami tan niyuktoham haro harati tadvashah Vishvam Purusha Rupena Paripati Trishakti Drik. He says that I create only being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Haro Harati Tatvashah. And Lord Shiva destroys being ordered by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Vishvam Purusha Rupena Paripati Trishakti Drik. And the Supreme Lord Vishnu himself takes care of the protection of this material world. So therefore, ultimately, even Brahma's creation and Lord Shiva's destruction is actually, in one sense, performed by the Supreme Lord himself. And sthiti also refers to the condition of the jivas, or Vaikunta Vijaya can mean that the Lord destroys the suffering of the jivas, since jaya means victory over. So the living entity, if he does not have a gross body or a subtle body and an appropriate place to fulfill his desire, which has the potential to fulfill his desires, then he will be suffering actually. So therefore, the Lord, by creating These 14 planetary systems where the living entity can move about according to his desires and get appropriate bodies and enjoy, that actually is mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, the 14 planetary systems are discussed in detail in more than half of this canto. So therefore, this canto talks about Vedic cosmology, which is quite tricky in one sense, because still, you know, there is a big team. There are multiple teams of devotees who are working to figure out, you know, how exactly is Bhagavatam describing the universal cosmology, so that we could depict it in our temple of Vedic planetarium at Mayapur. Okay. So now I will just talk on this theme of what is the right mood to approach the technical sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. So, because there are so many technical sections, especially in the early chapters, and eventually it becomes very, from the sixth canto onwards, it is pure nectar. But till fifth canto, you will have to, you know, struggle to understand various technical subject matters. So now, how do we approach this? Because in fifth canto, we will have to again encounter this. Fourth canto, for that matter, was little bit more, not so technical actually. The secondary creation is in one sense little bit straightforward, and there were a lot of stories, but the fifth canto is not going to be like that, especially the second half. So how do we approach, what is the right mood to approach? So now another question that might come is, see, Bhagavatam is Amala Puran. So Amala Puran, spotless Purana. It is called as Paramahamsa Samhita. Why is there so much discussion about the universal form? In the second canto, if you see, there are only 10 chapters, but 5 of those chapters are dedicated to 3 descriptions of universal form. And in the third canto, again 2-3 more descriptions of the universal form come. So this primary creation, again and again and again, especially considering that this universal form, Prabhupada very clearly indicates that it is a imaginary form. Why dedicate so many chapters to describe this form when it is anyway imaginary? And it is not a form on which the devotees are expected to meditate upon. And also this universe, if it is fit to be rejected by the devotee, he has to aspire for the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why dedicate one canto, fifth canto, to describe about this universe and the universal form and topics about liberation? So all these things, why? See, we are not debating that these topics should not be there in the Shastras, but we are talking about Bhagavatam, which is said to be the spotless Purana, Amala Puran, Paramahamsa Samhita. Do the Paramahamsas take pleasure in discussing about the universal form? Do they take pleasure in discussing about the structure of the universe? What rasa is there? Pibata Bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. This is the clarion call of Vyasadev himself. After he is inviting people to drink the nectarian juice, why is he feeding them topics about the universal form, universal cosmology, and all these things? Why in Bhagavatam of all the scriptures? So we will see some reasons why, which will give us a perspective as to how we should approach this subject matter also. So first thing is that, yes, there is no doubt that Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramahamsa Samhita, but nowhere in Bhagavatam it says that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant only for the Paramahamsas. Okay, so let us do a small research here. Okay. So we will try to evaluate the various people who spoke the Bhagavatam. Brahmaji spoke to Narada Muni, Narada Muni spoke to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva spoke to Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam, Maitreya spoke Bhagavatam. So all these devotees, we will see whom did they have in mind while speaking Bhagavatam. That will give us a understanding of who are the target audience for Bhagavatam. So first, Vyasadev. So when Vyasadev compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, whom did he compile it for? So this is the verse which talks about when after Vyasadeva was instructed by Narada Muni, Vyasadeva went and meditated. And then in his meditation, he saw Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Amale Apashyat Purusham Purnam Mayam Chatadapashrayam. So he saw the Supreme Lord and he saw the Maya Devi who had taken shelter. Yaya Sammohito Jivo Atmanam Trigunatmakam Paropi Manute Anartam Tatkritam Chapipadyate. And he also saw that how this Maya Devi was entangling all living entities and making them suffer with anarthas, making them identify with the body, and with that bodily identification, whatever activities they perform, it binds them to the material world. So what is the solution out of it? Vyasadeva saw that in this meditation also. That is this verse. Anartho pashamam sakshad bhakti yogam adokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. So he says that anartha upashamam sakshad bhakti yogam adokshaje. The means of extricating oneself from these anarthas is only bhakti yoga. But ignorant people do not know this. Ajanato lokasya chakre satvata samhitam. Especially for the ignorant people, Vyasadeva wrote Bhagavatam. So the target audience that Vyasadeva had in mind was Ajanato Lokasya, ignorant people. So they can by no means be called as Paramahamsas actually. Okay. And why did Shukadeva speak Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami? So this comes in the first canto again. Yes, Swanubhavam Akhila Shruti Saramekam Adhyatma Deepam Atitir Shatam Tamondam Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasasunum Upayami Gurum Muninam. So it is mentioned that Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam. Out of deep compassion for the conditioned souls of this material world, Atititirshatam Tamondam, who have a deep desire to cross over this ocean of existence, ocean of material existence, but they are struggling to cross over this material existence because of their ignorance. What is the solution? He says, I will compile Bhagavatam for them. So Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam. So when he spoke, he had the ignorant people of this material world in his mind as target audience. What about Maitreya? Why did Maitreya compile this Bhagavatam? Maitreya himself says, Soham Rinam Kshulla Sukaya Dukkam Mahadgatanam Viramaya Tasya Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam Yadaha Sakshat Bhagavan Rishibhyaha. He says, Soham Rinam Kshulla Sukaya Mahadgatanam Dukkam. People of this material world, for getting meager pleasures of sense gratification, they undergo tremendous suffering. Tasya viramaya, in order to put a full stop to these foolish endeavors, pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam, I am going to write Bhagavat Puran, I am going to speak Bhagavat Puran. Like that Maitreya says. So Maitreya, who spoke Bhagavatam, he had the foolish people of this world in his mind, ignorant people, for whom he compiled Bhagavatam. Okay. And Narada Muni, when he instructed Srila Vyasadeva to compile a literature like Bhagavatam, what did he say? He said, Vichakshano syarhati veditum vibhor ananta parasya nivrittitas sukam pravartamanasya gunair anatmanas tato bhavan darshaya cheshtitam vibhoh. He said, my dear Narada Muni, Vichakshano asya arhati veditum vibhor ananta parasya nivrittitas sukam. Actually, in this material world, there are people who are completely beyond the three modes. They have given up all material happiness. Such people can read your Vedanta Sutras and Upanishads, and they can come to, they can cross over this material world, no problem. But do you think foolish people of this material world can read your Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads and cross over this material world? Pravartamanasya gunair anatmanas tato bhavan darshaya cheshtitam vibho. My dear Vyasadeva, there is only one means to help them cross over this material world, that is cheshtitam viboho cheshtitam. Describe the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Darshaya, bhavan darshaya cheshtitam viboho. Write a literature which glorifies the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By reading that, the attached, ignorant people of this material world will open their doors of liberation, will open their doors to the spiritual world. So Vyasadev, Narada Muni said, compile a book. You have compiled the Vedanta Sutras for the intelligent people, for the detached people, for the attached, ignorant people, you write Bhagavatam, he says. And again, Narada Muni confirms this. Etad hi atura chittanam matra sparsha icchaya muhu bhavasindu plavo drishto haricharyanu varnanam. He says that in this material world, people are always under constant anxiety because they are very eager to bring their senses in touch with their sense objects. The matra sparsha icchaya, a great desire to gratify their senses, and because of which they are constantly in anxiety and distress. What is the only solution? Bhavasindhu plava. What is that boat which can help such people cross over this ocean of material distress? He says, Haricharyanu Varnanam. Only constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear Vyasadev, you should write a book which is 100% dedicated to achieving this goal. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadev, Narada Muni constantly instructed Vyasadev to write a book which is meant for the foolish people of this world. So yes, it is. Then how can you say that Bhagavatam, then why is Bhagavatam called as Paramahamsa Samhita? Are foolish people the Paramahamsas? If the target audience of Bhagavatam are the foolish people, and if you call Bhagavatam as Paramahamsa Samhita, are foolish people Paramahamsas? He says, no. Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Instruction. Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pittopatapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintvadarad Anudinam Kalusaiva Jushta Swadvi Kramad Bhavati Tadgada Moolahantri. He says that for a person who is suffering due to jaundice, we saw this last time also, he will not be able to taste anything that is sweet. It will taste bitter. But kintu adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. But if we respectfully and in a regulated way, he takes shelter of the process of bhakti, it will clear away the anarthas and swadvi kramad bhavati. Gradually it becomes very tasty. Nashta praya shobhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So in this way, therefore, Bhagavatam is called Paramahamsa Samhita not because, for two reasons. Because whoever takes shelter of Bhagavatam, he becomes a Paramahamsa. That is the reason why Bhagavatam is called as Paramahamsa Samhita. And the second reason is that only Paramahamsas can experience the real taste of Bhagavatam. Whereas others can take it as a medicine, but the real Paramahamsas can experience the actual taste. Just like a healthy person can experience the actual taste of sugarcane juice, but for a jaundiced person, he takes it as a medicine. Okay. So therefore, it is also called as Paramahamsa Samhita, because Paramahamsas can perfectly taste it, can experience the perfect taste. Actual taste. And this is indicated in the very second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam also. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Molanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrute Kimva Parai Rishwara Sadhyo Hridya Varudyate Takritibhi Shushru Shubit Tachanat. So, Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur gives a beautiful explanation of this verse. He says there are two kinds of people, Kritibihi and Shushrushibihi, who approach Bhagavatam. So the Kritibihi are the Paramahamsas who are completely free of all material desires, when they approach Bhagavatam, Ishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudyate, the Supreme Lord immediately manifests in their heart. Like we see in the case of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and others, you know, or Mukunda Sarkar, who was the royal physician. As soon as they heard one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam, and suddenly, Pundarik Vidyanidhi started tearing his clothes and rolling down in great ecstasy. He showed all the Ashtasattvika Vikaras of a person of the highest level when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Ishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudyate. Immediately when he hears Bhagavatam, immediately the Lord manifests within the heart. But there are a second category of people, Shushrushubihi, who are sincere but not perfected, who have some faith in the hearing of Bhagavatam, but they are not perfect in hearing Bhagavatam. He says, Shushrushubihi Tatshanat Ishvara Hridya Varudyate. And for a person who is sincere but not completely purified, gradually over a period of time, the Supreme Lord manifests within his heart. So which means eventually everyone becomes a Paramahamsa. And Paramahamsas can immediately experience or relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is called as Paramahamsa Samhita. So therefore, because not everyone is Kritibihi, therefore gradually you have to build them up by describing the foundational subject matters about how the Lord deals with his material energy. You can't directly talk about 10th canto pastimes to a Shushrushubihi. Whereas a Kritibihi, one who has perfected, he can directly hear 10th canto pastimes. But for others, it has to take a gradual, it has to go gradually. Then the same point comes in the second canto also. Pibantiye Bhagavata Atmanasatam Katamritam Shravana Puteshu Samritam Punantite Vishaya Vidushitashem Vrajanti Tacharana Saroruhantikam. Okay. So he says that Pibantiye Bhagavata Atmanasatam, one who drinks this nectarian beverage of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shravana Puteshu, through the ear holes, one who drinks this nectarian beverage of Srimad Bhagavatam, two things happen. If he is a Shushrushubhi, if he is a sincere but beginner devotee, Punantite Vishaya Vidushita Ashayam, his heart, materially contaminated heart, becomes purified. But what if he is a Kritibihi? If he is a perfected person, Vrajanti Tacharana Saroruhantikam, he immediately attains the lotus feet of the Lord for service. This is the potential of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it can create a Paramahamsa out of a conditioned soul also, and it can perfectly allow a Paramahamsa to relish its nectar also. So for this purpose, Srimad Bhagavatam is called as Paramahamsa Samhita, and therefore, in order to gradually train people, the earlier topics of Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti, Manvantara, Ishanukata, these things gradually have to be presented so that gradual purification can happen and gradual attraction towards the lotus feet of the Lord can be in a very scientific way developed. So therefore, these other topics are also important, and we should not presumptuously neglect these topics thinking that, oh, ultimately this is not important, only the 10th canto is very important. We should not think like that. So that is the first reason, that Srimad Bhagavatam is not just for Paramahamsas. What about those who are not Paramahamsas? How do you gradually develop them? That is one reason. So here, when I'm talking about so you could have sadhakas who are beginners but who have faith in pure devotional service, but they have not reached the stage of bhava or prema. And second is, you may have people who do not even have qualification for pure devotional service. They may not even be sadhakas within the realm of pure devotional service. They may be mixed devotees. They may be karmis. They may be jnanis. So Bhagavatam cannot reject them. Bhagavatam has to attract them also. So how would Bhagavatam attract them? Through describing these various other episodes, which can potentially be attractive to such people. But it will attract those karmis, jnanis and yogis and make them into paramahamsas. Okay. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, that actually there is no material qualification for practice of bhakti. He says, Shastratah shruyate bhaktau nrimatrasya adhikarita sarva adhikaritam magasnanasya bruvatayata drishtantita vashishtena haribhaktir nripam prati. So in the scriptures say that any human being is qualified for bhakti. Nrimatrasya adhikarita. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abira shumba yavanaha kasadaya. So all the kiratas, hunas, all these kind of low-born people who have no samskaras, no good nature, all of them can actually, they are qualified for practicing bhakti. Just like in the month of Magh, which is the severe winter, anyone is qualified, anyone, no one will be stopped from taking bath in the frigid waters of Ganga. But you know, anyone can take bath, no one is going to stop. But again, the point is that only one who has faith in the purifying potency of that Ganga, only he will go and take bath. Similarly, even though any human being is fit to perform bhakti, but only one who has that qualified faith in the process of bhakti, only he will practice bhakti. Yadrichaya matkatadav jata shraddhostu yah puman Nanirvinno nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhida. Bhagavatam talks about faith being the prerequisite for practicing bhakti. Faith in the path of devotional service. Faith in the path of pure devotional practices. Faith in the devotional literatures, bhakti shastras. Faith in the parampara. But that faith is rare. So you can't just speak about pure devotional service and hope to attract those people who may not have that qualification for pure devotional service. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. So the shastras say that as long as one is not satiated by tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata, as long as one has not developed a kind of detachment from material activities and has developed a faith in my Krishna katha, he cannot give up his varnashram duties and just practice bhakti. So therefore the scriptures do talk about qualification for karma, qualification for jnana, qualification for yoga, qualification for bhakti in terms of faith and other such qualifications. So therefore, what about those people who may not have faith in the practice of devotional service? How can Bhagavatam serve them? Bhagavatam serves them by talking about these other practices, and in talking about them, it attracts them. But after attracting them, Bhagavatam literally gradually mesmerizes them and makes them qualified for bhakti. So therefore, for such purposes also, you know, there is description of Jnana Yoga, there is description of Ashtanga Yoga, there is description of this Virat Roop meditation in detail described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is all meant for, in one sense, attracting such people also. And also for devotees to strengthen their faith. Because after describing all these paths in great detail, a very systematic presentation of how bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti is superior to all these other paths is very systematically described. So hearing these enhances the faith of practitioners of pure devotional service also. So two reasons we saw that Bhagavatam is not just for paramahamsas, even beginners have to be gradually purified. And second, there could be persons qualified for karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. They also have to be attracted to the process. So for that purpose also other topics has to be described. And Bhagavatam also says that proper understanding of these topics lead to purification. These so-called not so devotional sounding topics, actually the Bhagavatam says that a proper understanding of these topics actually leads to purification. So very beautiful verse. This is the last verse of the second canto, 7th chapter. So we will read the verse, its translation, and we will read Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, very instructive purport. Okay. So this verse is the last verse that comes in the conversation between Brahmaji and Narada Muni, where Narada Muni asks to describe about the process of creation. And in three chapters, actually Brahmaji very elaborately describes the process of creation. Creation means what? The Lord's activities with respect to the material energy, with respect to Maya. So he says, should people listen to such topics? What is the use? Should devotees listen to these topics? He says, Mayam varnayato mushya ishvarasya anumodatah shrinvata shraddaya nityam mayayatmana muyyati. So he says, Atma, if the jiva, nityam mayam varnayatah, constantly describes maya. So this is not talking about the newspaper material. He is talking about how the Lord interacts with maya. Amushya Ishwarasya, in relationship with the Lord. The Lord, with respect to, in touch with maya, how the Lord creates, maintains and destroys this material world. If one constantly describes this topic, anumodataha, remembers this topic, shrinvataha shraddaya, or faithfully hears about this topic, mayayana muhyati, such a person will not be bewildered by maya. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada, commenting about this verse in his purport, he writes, the science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiments of fanatics. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relationship with the external energy to be useless for them, and they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's activities in relationship with the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. So it means whether you hear the 10th canto pastimes or the 2nd canto, 3rd canto, 5th canto pastimes, he says they are equally good. On the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's external energy, which means if the three modes are still troubling us, then one should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relationship with the external energy, which is atra sargo visargascha sthanam, sarga visarga sthanam, etc. Okay. They should not foolishly jump to the activities of the internal energy, falsely attracted by the Lord's internal potential activities like his rasalila. So one should not directly jump to those topics. The chief reciters of the Bhagavatam are very much enthusiastic about the Lord's internal potential activities, and the pseudo devotees, absorbed in material sense enjoyment, falsely jump to the stage of liberated souls and thus fall down deeply into the clutches of external energy, Prabhupada says. So only the cheap reciters are very eager to recite only the 10th canto pastime, and only the pseudo devotees are very eager to hear only such topics. And what is the result? He says that they fall down deeply into the clutches of external energy. They avoid topics of external energy, but they end up falling deeply in the clutches of external energy. Some of them think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about his activities with the gopis or about his pastimes like lifting the Govardhan hill. And they have nothing to do with the Lord's plenary expansions as the Purushavataras. They don't want to hear about the Purushavatar Katha. So Purushavatar Katha means what? Creation, maintenance, destruction. You say that is too dry. That is not so relishable. They may think like that. But a pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord, either in Rasa Leela or in creation, maintenance, or destruction of the material world. Rather, The descriptions of such activities of the Lord as the Purushavataras are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of external energy. Topics like the Ras Leela are meant for the liberated souls and not for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls therefore must hear with appreciation. Prabhupada says, no, don't just hear. Try to develop some appreciation and devotion, the Lord's pastimes in relationship with the external energy, and such acts as are as good as the hearing of the Ras Leela and the liberated state. So hearing Purushavatar Katha in the conditioned state is as good as hearing Ras Leela at the liberated state. A conditioned soul should not imitate the activities of liberated souls. Lord Sri Chaitanya never indulged in hearing the Ras Leela with ordinary men. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the signs of God, the first 9 cantos prepare the ground for hearing the 10th canto. A pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, must begin reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning and not from the 10th canto. So, Srila Prabhupada further says, we have several times been requested by some so-called devotees to take up the 10th canto immediately. But we have refrained from such an action because we wish to present Srimad Bhagavatam as the science of Godhead and not as a sensuous understanding for the conditioned souls. So if we gradually hear from the first canto onwards, then when we approach the 10th canto, then we will have the right kind of mood and reverence towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is forbidden by such authorities as Sri Brahmaji. By reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. Very powerful purport. Why one should have faith, taste, and trust in hearing these kind of seemingly not so juicy topics of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because this is what will create the necessary purification. Like that. Okay. So the three themes that we have seen, three reasons why we should accept these topics with the right mood. First is Bhagavatam is not just meant for Paramahamsas. Even the beginner conditioned sadhakas also have to be pulled up. These topics actually purify them. These topics pull them up, and also there could be people who are qualified for Karma Jnana Yoga. It has to pull them also, and also actually hearing these topics purify the heart. The necessary purification that is needed to hear the higher topics comes from these topics only. And also understanding of these topics is actually a prerequisite to understand the higher topics. It is a prerequisite. We cannot directly understand 10th canto. So we are going to start 5th canto tomorrow. Now I am talking about the penultimate verse of the 5th canto. We read the penultimate and the ultimate last verse of the 4th canto today. But maybe a few months or year down the line, you will be reading this verse, which is the penultimate verse of the 5th canto. 5th canto, 26th chapter, 38th verse. This is a prose verse. I will not read the verse itself. I will read the translation of this verse. I especially want you to focus on the places where I have made it blue in color. In the beginning, the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. So he spoke about the Krama Mukti and all those paths, gradual liberation, then direct liberation through Ashtanga Yoga, and then by Bhakti, all of that he spoke. In the Puranas, the universe divided into 14 parts is described as the gross body of the Supreme Lord of Narayana, made of this material Maya. Made of his material Maya. So, the 5th canto, toward the last 14 odd chapters, he describes about the, about, you know, the universal cosmology. And he mentions that, so this universe is the gross body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, hear this, this is very important point. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains about it to others and develops faith, bhakti and pure intelligence, he will understand the topic of the Supreme Lord, which is like an Upanishad, difficult to understand. You see, the point, we thought that the universal form is very difficult to understand. The 14 planetary systems are very difficult to understand. The easiest thing to understand is Krishna. But Shukadeva Goswami says, you have misunderstood it. Actually, to understand Krishna and the personal forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very, very difficult, like an Upanishad. But it is much more easier to understand the universal form, and the description of the cosmology of the universe is very easy. When you understand this, then you gain the qualification to understand about the personal forms and the personal pastimes of the Lord. This is what Shukadeva Goswami has to say. He does a complete paradigm shift. The first time I read this, it was a big shock for me. I thought, oh, I didn't expect this. I thought to hear about Lord Ram's pastime, Lord Krishna's pastime, so sweet, so easy to understand. Why break my head, trying to understand this universal form, way, universal cosmology and all these things. He said, Shukadeva Swami said, oh, this is easy to understand. That is very difficult to understand. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada, commenting on this verse in Bhagavatam, he says, the Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained, especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat form of the Lord as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Prabhupada says, that will help one save himself from material conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. So, this is Prabhupada's purport about this penultimate verse of the fifth canto. So, we are discussing the fourth reason, which is hearing these topics is actually a prerequisite to hear the higher topics. And in the second canto, 10th chapter, for the third time, description of the universal form comes. Virat Roop description. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in the purport to the second canto, 10th chapter, 10th verse, beautiful purport, he addresses this frustrating question. Again and again, why there is description of this universal form? Okay. He presents something very similar to the mode that Srila Prabhupada is also mentioning here. So he says, why do you always speak about the universal form and the self? Bar, again and again. Why is there so little sweet discussion about the qualities and forms of the Leela Avataras? Again and again you are speaking Purusha Avatar Katha, Virat Roop, universal form, universe. Why don't you describe the Leela Avataras? So sweet to hear. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, oh, what you observe is true. To whom should topics about the Leela Avataras be taught with relish? Who should study the Leela Avatar Katha with great relish? He says, those who have perfected bhakti are the Nitya Siddhas, constantly play spontaneously in the sweet ocean of Lord's beauty and pastimes. They can. But those who are sleeping on the bed of bliss of sense pleasure, and those who have fainted in the waves of suffering arising from karma, cannot be woken up. Kota Nidra Jao Maya Pisha Chira Kole. Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. How can pastimes of the Lord be taught to those people who are sleeping soundly on the lap of Maya? This crest jewel of Puranas, being most merciful, thinking of how to give instruction to make them into sadhaka bhaktas, constantly attempts by some trick or other to wake them up. So, that is what it says, that how can these people who are absorbed in material energy, how can they be woken up and made into sadhakas? So constantly Bhagavatam plays some trick. He says, just as a limb burned by fire is given relief by fire. So according to Ayurveda, when someone has a burnt skin, you should not immediately pour cold water into it. You know, it should be wrapped with something warm. Okay. Fight by fire by fire. You know, that is the, not literally you put fire again, but something warm. So similarly, and a person haunted by ghost is revived by a ghost mantra. So jiva's absorption in the sleep of maya can be broken by topics concerning maya. Topics concerning maya again does not mean mundane prajalpa. Topics concerning how the Lord is actually the Krishna is actually the Lord of maya, and he is the enjoyer of maya, and the jiva's enjoyment should be in subordination to the Lord's enjoyment. Okay, so that is what is the essence presented in the earlier cantos, talking about Krishna's interaction with the moods, with maya. But even though by the shower of nectar of pastimes of the Lord obtained by the mercy of the devotee, the person sleeping in the happiness of maya or fainting in the suffering of karmas wakes up, becomes drenched, revitalized, dances and rejoices blissfully. Only those who obtain the great mercy become successful and not others. So you may have the nectarian pastimes, but if an unqualified person hears, actually he cannot become successful. The low jivas desiring to cross the material ocean and have developed determination to take shelter of the lotus feet of Guru can be delivered by constantly hearing about the self, which means about hearing about the earlier topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. For this reason, there is repeated discussion of the self. Self means Atma and of course the material universe also. Those who are faithful devotees of the Lord will relish the nectar of the whole Bhagavatam. So one should relish the nectar of the whole Bhagavatam, not just some topics. Okay. So Bhagavan is complete only, you know, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdate. The Brahman portion, the Paramatma portion. The Brahman portion, the Paramatma portion are also parts of Bhagavan. The Leelavataras are parts of Bhagavan. The Purushavataras are parts of Bhagavan. The Manvantaravataras are parts of Bhagavan. So Bhagavan means, because Bhagavatam is the personification of Krishna, the literary incarnation of Krishna. So Bhagavatam is just like Krishna is complete along with all his parts and parcels and his various amshas, swamshas, vibhinna amshas, etc. Similarly, how can Bhagavatam, being the incarnation of the Lord, be considered complete without description of the Brahman, Paramatma, Purushavataras, Leelavataras, Gunavataras, Manvantaravataras, etc.? So therefore, he says that it also speaks about the impersonal aspect of the Lord, Brahman, and his portion, Paramatma. Okay, it has been said at the beginning of this work, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdete. Thus, repeated discussion of the self is suitable for worshippers of Brahman and Paramatma. By this means, being most generous, Bhagavatam produces bhakti even in the worshippers of Brahman and Paramatma. So, it has to attract them also to bhakti. Like that. Okay, this is the essence actually, to attract them also. So Krishna, who is completely full of sweetness in his form, qualities, pastimes, and possesses dharma, jnana, bala, ishwarya, etc., since he contains all avatars such as Matsya, Kurma, etc., and also the aspects of Brahman, Paramatma, etc., so he is full in all these features. So all these features have to be described. But of course, in the 10th canto, the form Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, the Swayam Bhagavan is described in great detail. But his amshas also have to be described. That is why the other 11 cantos are dedicated to all those descriptions. This scripture, being non-different from Krishna's Swarupa, thus reveals Krishna as the source of all avatars, Brahman and Paramatma. It reveals his qualities, pastimes, sweetness and powers, the method to attain him, sadhana bhakti, the goal, prema bhakti, as well as principles such as dharma, jnana, yoga and vairagya. All these things have to be, they are all empowered by bhakti. Therefore, in order to show how everything is empowered by bhakti, sometimes you have to describe karma, jnana, yoga also. Therefore, every presentation in Srimad Bhagavatam is consistent, nothing is redundant, and everything is useful for devotees actually. Every single syllable is useful for devotee. And finally, the last of the five reasons, of course there could be more reasons, I could come up with these five reasons. Any Mahapurana has to discuss 10 topics. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya manvantareshanukata nirodho muktirashraya. Any Mahapurana is said to be complete only when all these 10 topics are there. So if these 10 topics are not there, then how can Bhagavatam even be qualified as a Mahapurana? What to speak of an Amala Purana? For these 10 topics, Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshana, Muti, Manvantara, Ishanukata. Maybe some other day we will see what these 10 topics are. But you must have already seen it in the second canto. But the speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll just end with this one point. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartam Navanamiha Lakshanam Varnayanti Mahatmanah Shrutena Artena Cha Anjasa. So only in Srimad Bhagavatam, the other 9 topics are discussed in such a way, they are presented in such a way that it brings out the true glory of the 10th topic, which is Ashraya, which is Krishna. In no other Purana, the other 9 topics are discussed in such a consistent way with the sole purpose of glorifying the 10th topic of Krishna. It is only Srimad Bhagavatam. So I have few other collections to substantiate that, but again we have run out of time, so I will pause my presentation here. And thank you very much for giving this opportunity. So if there are any quick comments, questions, maybe we could take for some time. So thank you very much for giving this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a nectarian and wonderful class. I request all the devotees, anybody have any realizations and questions related to the particular topic, you can please go ahead and ask.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Today's class was really I was perplexed after listening, because I've started reading Krishna book before Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam. So how should I look at it now? How should I approach it? I'm right now at 20th chapter. I haven't completed Krishna book. So how should I proceed now?
You should go ahead and read the 29th chapter onwards, bro. So because Prabhupada has written Krishna book in such a way that he has very beautifully interwoven the pastimes with lot of essential philosophy. So that anyone who reads Krishna book would not be bewildered. So the essential philosophical foundation which is given in the earlier cantos, Prabhupada very nicely interweaves those philosophical concepts in Krishna book also. So therefore you don't have to feel bad. You can go ahead and continue with your Krishna book reading.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you. Jai Krishna.
Anything else?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. One is about, let us say somebody like me, I read through the first few several cantos and coming up to 10th canto. Like we know, some purification happens depending upon my receptivity and the way I could observe, whatever I can observe based on my limited capacity. So is it still okay to continue 10th canto, or there is some kind of checklist, some realizations I should have before going to 10th canto like that, Prabhu?
See, from what I have heard, read, and assimilated, if you think the sufficient purification has not completely happened, then you can still read the 10th canto, but especially the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, we cannot zoom in those pastimes and elaborately study those pastimes. But otherwise, as a regular reading, as a continuous reading from one canto after another canto, if you have reached 10th canto, you should read. But at the same time, in our next reading of Bhagavatam, we should try to approach the subject matter with due diligence so that more tangible purification can happen, so that we actually become qualified to study the 10th canto in great detail while zooming in on individual pastimes like that.
Sure. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for walking us through the different reasons, why. So, Prabhuji, one question I had. In Canto 2, Chapter 9, when after Lord Brahma meditates on... Lord Brahma meditates, he sees the entire Vaikuntha Loka in front of him.
Yeah.
And I saw a different description in Canto 3. When Brahma meditates, he's meditating on from the top of... He sees Garbhodakshay Vishnu from the top of the lotus flower. In Canto 3. So there is a lot of difference, right, Prabhu, in the way...
Oh. Yeah. See, actually, these two descriptions... first he meditates, and then he first sees Garbhodakshay Vishnu. See, he comes from the lotus of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. That description is there.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
And then the Lord, being very pleased with him, showed him the Vaikuntha Loka.
Yes.
That is there. So he does come out of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, but he shows his Mahavaikuntha Loka where he stays with Mother Lakshmi. Lord Narayan stays with Mother Lakshmi. That description is there. So he actually did come out of the lotus that emanates from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. But actually the Lord who gave him darshan was the Narayan form of the Lord in Mahavaikuntha. That's the form that he saw. That's the description in the second canto also.
The second canto, we see that description, Prabhu. In third canto, we saw that he's offering prayers to Garbhodakshay Vishnu from top of the lotus flower.
Correct. Yeah. Right. See, there are a few times when Brahmaji, when he wakes up from his sleep, he becomes bewildered and a lotus comes out. Whenever that lotus comes out, that particular, it's not that every day of Brahmaji he forgets how to create, and it's not that every time he forgets how to create, a lotus emanates from the from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu and Brahma comes out. Brahma sits on top of that and offers prayers. It's not like that. In some kalpas, a lotus comes out, and that particular kalpa is called Padma Kalpa because a Padma comes out of the lotus feet of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Sometimes these different descriptions can be slightly different also. So it is not that the same episode exactly repeats as it is. So that way there will be slight difference in one of the kalpas in which the lotus comes out of the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and in another kalpa when a similar lotus comes out like that.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I have one more question, Prabhu. While you're closing the slides, I happen to see one of the title of the slides that talks about names of different cantos.
Correct.
So I wanted to confirm this one thing with you, or you can correct me also.
Yeah.
When I was trying to understand how Prabhupada titled each of the cantos and what is the real meaning of it, Then one devotee, I understood from one devotee, was that was primarily for publishing purpose, because they wanted to give one title for each book like that. That's how I heard it, Prabhu. I don't know if you have other relations on that. Is there a real meaning for it?
I didn't have time to touch that topic, but because you have asked, maybe 2 minutes I can. It has just two slides. I will just share because you asked this question. So actually I had this doubt as to why the first canto has been named creation. So this was like a doubt. And once I was in Chennai temple, and incidentally someone happened to ask the same question to His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj, and Maharaj gave a very short answer. He said, the question was, why did Prabhupada name the first canto as creation? And Maharaj said, actually Prabhupada did not give the name. So that's all he said. But it didn't answer completely my question, then who gave the name. But anyway, then I did a small research trying to find out, is there any place where Prabhupada talks about naming of the cantos according to the 10 topics? And I got two interesting references. One is the Jaladuta diary of Prabhupada. So this is Prabhupada has written the first canto. He is carrying the first canto in the Jaladuta, and he is sitting in Jaladuta and planning the subsequent cantos. So he plans by giving names to each canto, which is the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam itself. So actually, many of the acharyas attribute sarga or primary creation to the third canto, and visarga, the secondary creation, to fourth canto, sthanam, Vedic cosmology, to the fifth canto, poshanam, protection of the Lord, to the sixth canto, uti, the creative impetus, to the seventh canto, manvantara to the eighth canto, ishanukatha to the ninth canto, nirodha to the 12th canto, mukti to the 11th canto, and ashraya to the 10th canto. This is what Vishwanatha Chakravarti says. Even though he says that all 10 topics may occur in different cantos, but primarily because these topics appear in particular cantos, therefore names are given that way. Even though Jiva Goswami says that you should not give these names to particular cantos because these topics appear everywhere, there is no contradiction. Vishwanatha Chakravarti also agrees that all these 10 topics appear in different cantos, but still, because of the predominance of this topic in a particular canto, you can attribute that name to one canto like that. So Prabhupada, while in the Jaladuta diary, he writes the names of the cantos. So Prabhupada says, canto 1 he titles as the absolute truth, because janmadya setonvayadi taratascharteshu abhijnasurat, definition of the absolute truth. Canto 2 he titles symptoms of objectivity. I don't exactly know what it means. Canto 3 he titles as creation of the material world, which is primary creation sarga, which is in line with the other acharyas naming. And canto 4 Prabhupada titles as the sub creators, which is visarga, secondary creation. Canto 5 Prabhupada titles as the planetary system, which is sthanam, which is also in line with the other acharyas. Canto 6 the Lord, the protector, which is poshanam, which is also how Vishwanatha Chakravarti and others name. Canto 7 is creative impetus, uti, utayak karma vasana, how particular impressions that one has accumulated in one's life inspires or impels one to act in particular ways. And canto 8 is manvantara, how change of manpower, how bhakti was practiced in each manvantara. Manvantarani sadharma, it is mentioned. That is 8th canto. Canto 9 is ishanukatha, the science of God, through various stories is described. Canto 10, Prabhupada titles as Krishna, the cause of all causes, ashraya. Canto 11, the path of liberation, Mukti, and Canto 12, Nirodha. Prabhupada names it as the Samam Bonam. Okay. Samam Bonam means the ultimate, which means the ultimate thing is, you know, Mukti only. So probably that reason he gives. But this is very much in line with the way in which the other Acharyas have titled this cantos. Prabhupada titles the first canto as the absolute truth in Jaladutta. And again, starting from the fourth or fifth canto onwards, Prabhupada started giving canto summaries in the beginning of the canto. So in the sixth canto beginning, Prabhupada writes about titling of the cantos very interestingly. So Prabhupada says, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of the 10 subject matters, including creation, sarga, subsequent creation, visarga, and planetary systems, sthanam. Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, has already described creation, subsequent creation, and planetary systems in the third, fourth, and fifth canto. This is very direct explanation by Prabhupada, which means he says, third canto he described sarga, fourth canto visarga, and fifth canto sthanam. Now he says, now in this sixth canto, which consists of 19 chapters, he will describe poshana, or protection by the Lord. So this is also again another very direct reference that I found for Prabhupada naming the cantos like that. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yeah, that's good, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So, Prabhu, one more question I have. So, like, when you're describing also, like, sometimes Acharyas have different realizations and they appear contradictory for us from my point of view. So, how do we properly accept them with due respect to both the Acharyas or many Acharyas, Prabhu?
See, actually, it is mentioned that the Supreme Lord is, and his pastimes are compared to a Vaidurya stone. So, yeah, Vaidurya stone is like, from one side you see it looks blue in color, from another side it looks red in color, from another side it looks green in color. So someone says it looks blue, someone says it looks yellow, it looks red. All of them are right, because that is the nature of Vaidurya stone. So similarly, the Acharyas, one thing we have to understand is the Acharyas are not writing their opinions. So the Acharyas don't write their opinions. The Acharyas have what is called as Leela Spurti. Leela Spurti means direct revelation of the pastime by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what qualifies them to be an Acharya. That is what qualifies them to write commentaries. Otherwise, no ordinary person can write commentaries. So because the Lord is like a Vaidurya stone, there are different facets to that particular pastime. So therefore, Krishna might choose to reveal different facets to different Acharyas. So they might present that the revelation of that particular facet of that pastime. So which might seem contradictory, just like, you know, someone says it is red in color, someone says it's blue in color. It appears contradictory, but it is not, because Krishna is not, is multifaceted. His pastimes are multifaceted, and different Acharyas can actually be revealed a different facet of that particular pastime. So therefore, we accept that faith we should have, that the Acharyas are not contradicting and they are not writing their opinion. They are just writing what Krishna has personally revealed to them. That is why when Prabhupada said that Krishna personally wrote these books, Prabhupada said. And it is true. Is that okay, bro?
Yeah, makes sense, bro. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you, bro.
I request any other devotees have any other further questions, you can please go ahead. If nobody have any questions or realizations, we can end the call here. Let's pay our obeisances to the Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening us today on this topic. We are very grateful to you and we look forward for your association. Vancha kalpatarupyasya krupa sindhu bhyayasya patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah. Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Balram Shakti Prabhuji ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji dandvat pranam. Hare Krishna.